one more.
Y'all do this, I'll do the test.
7:00.
This, okay, showtime.
Call this meeting to order. Ms. Parker, do we have a quorum?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Please stand for the pledge of allegiance and invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gracious God, we come before your presence with thanks and praise. We thank you for all the blessings of this life. We are gathered here this evening on behalf of the good citizens of Goochland County. We ask you to give us the guidance and wisdom to do what is right by our citizens. We ask you to bless our county, our state, and our nation, and our troops overseas protecting our freedoms. This we ask in your name, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Have you all had a chance to go over the minutes yet?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and then a second to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We now open the floor for citizen comment period. This is any item not...
Your microphone's not on.
We open the floor for citizen comment period. Any to comment on anything that's not on tonight's agenda? If you have something you'd wish to speak on, please come forward. You'll have 3 minutes. Seeing no one, we'll close the citizen comment period. Ms. Parker, do we have any requests to defer, additions, deletions, or changes?
No, sir. Our first public hearing item is in District 1, CU 2021-6, application by Big Dog Resources LLC requesting a conditional use permit for mining operation on approximately 1 acre out of 638.2 acres off of Shannon Hill Road on tax map numbers 31040, 31060, 410180, and 340A0. The properties are zoned agricultural general A1. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance, Section 15102, in accordance with Section 15283F. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Members of the Commission, Tom Coleman, Principal Planner. As Ms. Parker said, this is a renewal of a conditional use permit for a mining operation. The property is located in the far western part of the county. The subject property and the surrounding properties are zoned agriculturally. The subject property and the surrounding properties are recommended for rural enhancement area in the comprehensive plan. Looking at their photo, you can see that there is largely either undeveloped or low-intensely developed. There's a history of mining activity in the area. Historically, the Shannon Hill Road area was mined for gold and silver between 1835 and 1839. Closer to this site, there was a comparable CUP approved in 2019, approved for the old Moss Mine site, and that mining activity has not begun in full operation yet. As far as the proposed mining activity, this application would rework old workings that were spread on the ground, from previous mining activities to remove gold and to clean the workings of contamination, which would mostly be mercury. Powerful centrifuges and rock crushing would be utilized to separate the gold. These activities would not create new pits or shafts. The reclamation process is typically completed one small area at a time. There are no acids or blasting used. The activities are regulated by the Virginia Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy, and removal of mercury is monitored by that agency. There is a requirement that any mining activities be at least 1,000 feet from the closest dwelling. Looking at this map, the closest dwelling is approximately 2,500 feet away. And I did asterisk there. That's the mining CP application mining that was approved on the adjacent property. That just has the Moss Mine site asterisked. There was a community meeting in June. Mr. Commissioner John Myers was there, and 14 citizens were present. There were questions about the process, how it would be implemented, the depth of any excavating, the handling of stormwater runoff, and the retention pond. No one expressed opposition to the proposed application. There are a number of conditions that are recommended with this application, and these are substantially similar to the conditions that were approved for the mining activity on the adjacent property. The first one would allow the mining activity to take place on the property. The second one would require them to get a POD before they undertake any mining activity. The third one would require them to adhere to state and federal regulations, and there are a number of those that I'll go through one at a time. The first one would prohibit any off-site materials from being brought to the site. The second one would prohibit any toxic chemicals or hazardous substances. The third one would prohibit any trash or debris from accumulating on the site. The fourth one would require them to clearly mark the boundary if there are any activities within 100 feet of the property line. We don't anticipate that would happen, but if it did, they would have to adhere to this condition. The access road, they would have to get their access approved, went to the public road approved by VDOT, and their internal access would have to be approved by Gooch and Fire Rescue and Department of Community Development. The drainage ways is an important consideration that the DMME would be monitoring the drainage ways to ensure that they're not contaminating or transferring any of their spoils off-site. As far as the topsoil stored in drainage, this basically says if they have any stockpiles of topsoil or workings, that those would have to be managed appropriately and not allowed to, again, contaminate any off-site property. As far as screening, there's a number of ways they could screen the property. We would anticipate that due to this being centrally located and there being a lot of surrounding mature tree stands, that that would provide the appropriate screening for this use. Once they cease operations, they would have to close any roads or anything related to the mining operation upon their completion of their operation. J is the requirement to submit a groundwater protection plan. That would require any permits they get from DMME, that they just submit those to the county. The fifth one, that's the setback. I showed you earlier, they are required to have a 1,000-foot setback from the closest dwelling. The sixth, they are required to mark their property boundary. Seventh would prohibit any blasting on the site. Number eight would limit their hours of operation from 7 to 7, Monday through Saturday, with no activities on Sunday. This would be a recommendation for five-year approval if it's approved. And then the last one is our standard condition relating to the transfer or lease of the property. And that concludes my presentation. Be happy to answer any questions.
This is similar to what we approved in 2019.
Correct. Yes.
Would the applicant like to come forward?
Good evening.
Good evening. You have anything to say?
It's the same operation as at the Moss.
Yeah. Okay.
Very similar.
Yeah, okay. All the separation is going to be by physical means, not chemical means. Is that
no,
correct?
No chemicals. That would defeat the whole purpose of removing the mercury if I added more chemicals.
Yeah.
Would you
mind? Then I would expect y'all to laugh at me for asking for it.
Would you mind stating your name and address, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Paul Bush, 5134 Cartersville Road.
Just out of curiosity, how much soil do you have to process before you get, say, an ounce of ore? Just out of
curiosity. Depends on the area. Mm. On the moss, I should get about an ounce every 4 tons.
Oh, okay.
All depends on what the old timers left there and what's still there. You don't know that until you start going full bore, unfortunately. But the important thing is to get all the mercury out.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. And thanks for whoever gave my wife permission to hunt mushrooms over there.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
Nothing further? No other question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We now open the floor for a citizen comment period. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing no one, we'll close the citizen comment period. Any questions? We have a motion.
I move we recommend this for approval.
I'll second
it. Okay.
Go.
Mr.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Our next item is in District 4, CU 2021-00005. Application by Kimberly C. Knuckles, requesting a conditional use permit for an unhosted short-term rental on 2.15 acres at 849 Broad Street Road on tax map number 4610250. The property is zoned agricultural limited, A2. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance, section 15112, in accordance with section 15285G. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I'm Jamie Sherry, Director of Community Development. The application before you is a request for a conditional use permit for a short-term rental, unhosted. The location of the property is in the northeastern portion of the property on Broad Street Road. The property is zoned A2, as is the surrounding properties. The property is designated rural enhancement area by the comprehensive plan. Across the street where you see it is semi-public, that is Grace Chinese Baptist Church. So here's the aerial. As you can see, as I mentioned, the church is across the street, and there are some other residences that are similar. The lots are similar in size. So the applicant is proposing to have a short-term rental. The property itself has been rented as a long-term lease, and this is something that the property owner would like to do. They do not live in the property, which is why it is unhosted. They do live in a property adjacent. Short-term rental unhosted is defined as a dwelling where a portion of the entire dwelling is used for sleeping, lodging, or for transient renters, which is rented for less than 30 days in exchange for a charge. Renters will be responsible for their own meals, and that's sort of what distinguishes it from like a bed and breakfast. The property consists of approximately 1,000 square feet of a dwelling and a 200 square foot shed. The applicant has indicated there would be no more than four guests, which is consistent with both the building code and the health department requirements. Here is a picture of the dwelling. Just prior to the meeting, I did speak with the applicant and has indicated this is an older picture. They have submitted a more updated picture, but I told her I would get that straight before it goes before the board. There was a community meeting held on May 12th. Board member Mr. Spoonhauer, planning commissioner Mr. Patuck, and two neighbors were in attendance. The applicant explained what they were proposing, and there were no issues or concerns mentioned at the meeting, and staff has heard, have had no comment since the application was filed. If the commission does recommend approval, these are the conditions we have in the packet. Number one is the use to allow for a short-term rental. Number two, maximum overnight guests, as I had mentioned, is four. The applicant would be required to have at least one working carbon monoxide and smoke detector on the property. Access, emergency access is required to make sure that vehicles would be able to access the property in case of emergency. Amplified sound, including speech, music, and other noises, is prohibited outdoors. There shall be no outdoor music after 10 p.m. No trespassing. In order to notify guests of the property's boundaries, no trespassing signs shall be posted and maintained along the boundaries to adjacent properties. The residential appearance shall remain just that, residential. Hunting and firearms. Guests shall not be hunting or using the or discharging firearms on the property. As I mentioned, these are our standard conditions for other places. Notice, number nine, all guests must be informed in writing the following conditions: that no more people may stay overnight, amplified music outdoors, and no amplified music outdoors, and no music after 10 p.m. outdoors, to observe the no trespassing sign and the no hunting and discharging requirements. This CUP will expire on the last day of 2026, so it is a five-year before they will be due for a renewal. And lastly is our standard transfer or lease condition. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions. The applicants are also here.
Any questions?
I have no questions.
When you say 30 days, that means after 30 days, the occupants have to move out and a new group come in?
Yeah, there would be a requirement that they could not stay there for more than 30 days.
30 consecutive days.
Consecutive, yeah. Yes, sir.
So they could leave and come back, you know, a week later if it was something different.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. Thank you.
Would the applicant like to come forward?
I don't really have anything extra to add. Just wanted to kind of see if you had any questions for me.
Your
name and address?
Yes.
Okay,
please.
Kimberly Knuckles.
Okay.
1780 Elmwood Drive, Mannequin Sabot, Virginia, 23103.
Okay. You live next door to it?
More behind it. Like, okay. I can look out my front window and see the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions for Ms. Knuckles?
No, thank you.
Right. Well, thank you.
Any other discussion? We have a motion?
Public hearing.
Oh, public hearing. I'm sorry. Getting ahead of myself here. We open the floor for a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, this seems pretty straightforward request. I make a motion to approve.
I second it.
We have been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it.
Our next item is in District 4, RZ 1996-00006A, application by Alan Myers, Virginia, Inc., requesting a proper amendment to rezoning case RZ 1996-00006 to allow changes to the buffer in accordance with an approved conditional use permit and conceptual plan on 20.276 acres at 2187 Ashland Road on tax map numbers 4810480 and 481048B1. The property is zoned industrial general M2. The comprehensive plan designates this as industrial.
Mr. Chair, Tom Corn, Principal Planner. The next two applications are companion applications. I do have two short presentations just to try to be less confusing, but it may be helpful to the Commission to wait until I complete both my presentations before they open the public hearing and take the vote on each of them individually. So, but I'll defer to the Chair. Just offer that.
Thank you.
The first application, first of all, Alan Myers currently operates an asphalt plant on Ashton Road, and they're proposing to relocate a portion of their operation onto an adjacent parcel. And with that, the parcels would to complete this moving of the operation, it would require amending a proffer that was, or they've requested to amend a proffer that was approved in 1996, and they're also requesting to amend a CUP that was approved in 2013. So indicated earlier, it's two separate applications of two separate presentations. Both presentations are very similar and very short. And with that, I will start moving into the rezoning application. As Ms. Parker said, this is a proffer amendment to reduce a buffer width. The subject property is located in the northeastern portion of the county. The subject property is zoned M2, and a lot of the properties to the south, so generally to the east and west, they're also zoned industrially. Properties to the north and partially to the east have an agricultural zoning. And looking at the comprehensive plan, the subject property and the surrounding properties are recommended for industrial. That corresponds to the existing M2 zoning that we saw on the earlier map. A lot of the properties to the north and, again, partially to the east are recommended for flexible, and that really reflects or corresponds with agricultural zoning that you saw on the previous map. Looking at the aerial photo, you see that the subject property properties, they have sort of a stockpile on the sort of the southern piece that's currently part of their operation. There are some buildings on the northern piece. Those buildings would be removed if they were to get approval and relocate their operations. So as I mentioned earlier, in addition to this proffer amendment, there's a CUP amendment that we'll look at in a moment. They currently operate an asphalt plant on two separate parcels. They own one of the properties, and they lease the other property. They recently acquired an adjacent property and would like to relocate all of their operations onto owner-occupied property. Upon the completion of this process, they would no longer utilize the leased property. With the development or the redevelopment of the site, that would include a combination of relocating existing facilities and constructing some new facilities. And I mentioned earlier, the recently acquired property has several buildings that would be demolished for them to undertake their operations. Now, specifically with this rezoning or this proffer amendment application, they are proposing to delete a 50-foot buffer that was on the conceptual plan that was approved in 1996. With the deletion of that 50-foot proffer, it would fall back to the 30-foot buffer, which is what was required by the zoning ordinance. This is the exhibit that was included in the original application, and you can see that 50-foot buffer that was required along the eastern and northern boundary. If this is approved, that would be there would still be a 30-foot buffer required, which is required by the M2 district. And this is the master plan that you'll see later with a conditional use permit. Again, I point out where the 30-foot buffer would be required around the perimeter of the site. I did want to point out that they do have a BMP area. The BMP area would have to be outside the buffer, but because it would abut the buffer, it would essentially provide a larger setback. So while there would still be a 30-foot buffer, any operations or buildings would be further away than 30 feet because the stormwater areas they've shown in an acceptable plan would provide an additional distance along that property line. These are the proffers that they submitted. Essentially, the first one basically would delete the conceptual plan I showed you earlier that approved in 1996, and it would replace it with the one that's proposed with a conditional use permit. And the second was one they added to correct some acreage that that was mentioned in their 19 or was included in the 1996 application. And that concludes my presentation on this. Do you have any questions on the proffer amendment application?
The additional item that corresponds with this is in District 4, CU 2013-00004A, application by Allen Myers, Virginia, Inc., requesting amendment to conditional use permit CU 2013-00004 for asphalt mixing plant to increase the permit activity area to include the adjacent parcel and to remove the 30-foot buffer between the two parcels. On 20.276 acres at 2187 Ashland Road on tax map numbers 481-0480 and 481-0480B1. The property is zoned industrial general M2. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance section 15272. The comprehensive plan designates this area as industrial.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. As you mentioned, this is a proposed amendment to a CUP that was approved in 2013. Approval of this CUP would accomplish two things. Previously, only a part of the parcel or part of one parcel was included. This would now encompass the new parcel and to add their operations to the new parcel. There was also a buffer that now would be internal to their site. And so removing this buffer would remove a requirement that they have an internal buffer for their operations, and that'll show up a little more clearly in a map I'll show you in a minute. And again, this is in the northeastern part of the county. Again, the subject property is on industrial, and there are some adjacent agricultural properties. The area is recommended for industrial and flexible use. Look at the aerial photo again. And again, the summary here again, I'll go ahead and skip over this slide just because this is a summary of what they're proposing and sort of get to what the, again, repeat what the specifics of this application are. This would allow the asphalt plant operations to expand onto their newly acquired parcel. It would also remove a 30-foot landscape buffer that was acquired in 2013. This was one of the conceptual plans that was approved in 2013, which shows the 30-foot buffer. This is what showed on their conceptual plan. And sort of looking at their overall site, what used to be an external 30-foot buffer would now be an internal 30-foot buffer to their operations, so they are requesting that that be removed. And as we get to the CUP conditions, we're essentially replacing or substituting the conditions that were approved in 2013 with a proposal for some new conditions. The first one would allow the asphalt mixing plant to take place on the properties. The second one would require them to adhere to the conceptual plan they submitted with their application. The third one would require them to have a POD approved prior to undertaking their activities. They would be required to submit a landscape plan. They would also be required to submit a lighting plan if they install any new external lighting. This would require any new entrance onto the roadway to meet VDOT requirements. And also they would have to, if they have an internal roadway, their internal roadway would need to be approved by the county agencies for, and it would have to be at least 20 feet wide, and we would be reviewing it for a depth of about 200 feet from the roadway. As I mentioned earlier, the ordinance would require them to have a 30-foot buffer. What we're recommending with 7 is sort of adding some details to that, sort of requiring some plantings within that buffer. Number 8 would prohibit any toxic chemicals or hazardous substances from being stored on the property. And the last one is our sort of standard transfer and lease as it relates to the sale of this property if it were sold. That concludes my presentation on this. Just a reminder that there are two applications, so as we proceed, we would have to have two separate public hearings and two separate votes from the commission.
On the second that you just did, where we're going to remove an internal buffer, is that along a property line that they're going to vacate?
Yeah, absolutely. They do intend to vacate the property, and that buffer requirement would still be there if the CUP is not approved. Because the CUP, the buffer was a requirement of the CUP approval. So even if they vacated a property line, the CUP approval would still adhere.
If they were to make it two lots again, that would do away with the CUP, then they would have to go back to the 30-foot?
No, with the approval of the CUP, we would not require that internal buffer anymore.
Right.
The 30-foot buffer that was included in this condition was to supplement the external buffer around the perimeter of the property.
But if it became external again, so that if they had, so if they're taking two lots and making it one,
correct,
there was a buffer in the middle. If it goes back to being two lots again, is that still?
They would know, not if this is approved.
Okay.
That would not.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Does the applicant have a presentation?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record, my name is Tom Klein. I'm a partner with the firm Troutman Pepper here in Virginia. I'm also accompanied by Mr. Curtis Hall, who's a vice president for asphalt operations with Allen Myers. I think, first of all, I want to say that we've worked very closely with your staff over the course of the last few months in ironing out this application. We also did have a community meeting that was attended by two of the supervisors, Mr. Spoonhauer and Mr. Sharp, which we had an opportunity to explain the application to them as well and to answer any questions. In many ways, this combination of applications, it does seem a bit complicated, but it's really just kind of a cleanup situation because you already have a asphalt operation that's operated by Allen Myers Company on a lease parcel. Within the last couple of years, they've acquired this parcel that's adjacent to that site. So when it went through the zoning and went through the use permit process before, there were two different parcels, so you had buffers associated with them and you had these old site plans. And so what we're really trying to do with respect to the zoning is clean up the zoning to make sure that the conceptual plan referenced in the 1996 proffers references what you would approve as part of this use permit. So that's kind of the cleanup. And sir, yes, to your question, there is an internal lot line, and one of the notations on our approval is that we would vacate that internal lot line. And in fact, that plat is pending with the staff right now for approval and recordation. So that will all happen, and it'll be operated as one consolidated site. One comment I would also add is Mr. Coleman mentioned that the lease parcel that we have, Allen Myers would not be operating on that. We would not be operating the asphalt facility because it would be moved onto this new, but this is probably an incorrect, something that I didn't fully elaborate with him. I think Allen Myers is still going to hold on to that leasehold there for storage of some of the equipment and that type of thing. But on balance, this is really just a combo. One is to clean up the old proffers and also clean up an acreage error that was in those proffers from 1996. And then secondly, to have you all review a use permit that applies to the newly relocated asphalt facility subject to all the new conditions that we've ironed out with the staff. And again, there were no concerns expressed at the community meeting we had, and also I would say we have absolutely no objection to any of the conditions that the staff has asked us to adhere to. With that, we do have a presentation, but we don't want to belabor your evening. If you don't, Mr. Hall can go through quite quickly and just kind of give you an overview of what they're doing and what kind of motivated them to redevelop this site.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Again, Curtis Hall, Vice President, General Manager of Asphalt. About half of what I put together was already covered by staff. I'm not always used to the county staff being so thorough, so this will go fairly quickly.
Just the white button.
Okay. So not everyone is familiar with Allen Myers, so I do like to cover a little bit about who we are. I won't read this verbatim, but just summarize this. We are the largest heavy civil contractor in the Mid-Atlantic. We do roads, bridges, water treatment plants, sewer treatment plants, pretty much everything but vertical construction buildings. We have 8 offices, 21 asphalt plants, and 5 quarries in the Mid-Atlantic. The company is a family business. We're in the 4th generation of that family business, a little over 80 years. We pride ourselves, in fact, it's part of our mission that being a community partner, we have a long-standing history of supporting the communities that we live and work in. We take great pr- pride in our equipment. If you see our equipment, pickups and trucks on the road, they generally are pretty black and shiny and neat. In fact, we've equipped them with GPS technology that generates a driver report weekly, monitoring speed, hard braking, those kind of things. And all of our drivers, even in our light fleet pickups, get a driver ranking every week. And we believe that, it's made a big difference in our safety record, and I think it makes us a better community partner. And one thing that we are very proud of is our tenure. Our average tenure of our employees is 12 years, where in the construction industry, the industry average is 2. And I think part of the reason for that is from the CEO on down through the hourly ranks, everyone has the same benefits package. There's no differentiation between salary and craft employees or anything like that. So the project description has pretty well been covered. So like I said, I'm not always used to that, but I think everyone's covered that pretty well, so I won't belabor that point. Again, site location has been covered. I will point out on this, to the east you can see Vulcan's Quarry. To the south you can see Lux Quarry. That's one of the reasons we picked this location. It's close to local aggregate sources, which is minimizes traffic and transportation cost and so forth. This shows where we currently operate, where we're proposing to move. The gist of that is, with an 80-year history, we're here for the long haul, and just having these type of operations on leased sites, when we bid jobs that many times go for 2, 3, 4 years, it makes it difficult to be on a leased site that might expire in 2 years when you're doing a job that lasts for 3 years. Okay. So our bonding companies and other outside partners don't really like that. So that's what we're looking to change. Zoning has been covered. This is just a broader view of the comprehensive plan, and it shows us right up in that northeast quadrant in the purple industrial zoning. Again, the existing facility and the zoomed in layout of the proposed. We are cleaning up the layout of the plant. The existing facility has existed since 1978. It's been added to and modified over the years, but there will be a good bit of modernization in this move. Some components will be moved, and some of the components would be replaced of same capacity but much newer technology. So, why here? It's M2 zoning. Adjacent to our existing facility, consistent with the comprehensive plan. We stay in the county where many of our employees live, and it's the market area we want to be in with locally available aggregate sources. This is just a typical most recent facilities that we've built. This is what our control house, this is where the operator operates the asphalt plant from. And this is what our laboratory facility, which is also shown on that site plan, would look like. As I said, this facility supports 50 salary and craft employees, examples of that listed. And we also pride ourselves on promoting from within. All of our positions, 80% of our positions are filled from within, so we have this stepping up initiative to provide that career growth for our employees. And I think that's it. Happy to field any questions.
Well, you still have an internal access to Luxstone for stone without having to get onto the highway?
We will, yeah. One of the reasons we're going to maintain the lease site is we have a shop facility there that's 8 bays that is ours, and it's on that lease facility, so obviously that's quite an investment in that leased facility. So our intent is to maintain the leased facility, but we would also maintain that access, that off-road access for the aggregate stocking operations.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty big thing to not have to get on the road for that.
Well, it is. All of our materials are still go across their scale, so it's not like the trucks are hauling something heavier than than what's permitted, but it still is a you know, real time saver, not, you know, and a safety benefit to do so.
I have a question regarding the leased site. You're going to maintain that lease. Do you have any idea for how long that might? And my second follow-up is, when you vacate that lease, do you have some obligation to bring back that land or repair it? Or
right. So our current lease, we recently renegotiated the terms of the lease. We've been there about 10 years. And so our initial lease was 10 years. We just recently renegotiated that for an additional 10 years. So we're there for at least another 10. And honestly, I don't know exactly what the terms of the lease say in terms of how we would turn the property back over.
Yeah.
For things like the shop building, I think it says we have the right to either remove it or leave it. And basically, we would forfeit that building if we left it in place.
Work it out with the lessor.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the new partial, you're going to own the new piece?
We do own. We acquired half of it, which is why it's subdivided and has that lot line. We acquired half of it about 6 or 8 years ago, and we acquired the other half 2 years ago. So now we've owned the entire 20 acres. So,
would you be landlocked if that lease was not renewed?
No, as you see there in the image, that red line is our access to Ashland Road.
Okay. Which, so that's not part of the lease. That's
no, that's
keep you off.
Everything outlined in red there we own, and that is our primary. So our customer traffic, the trucks coming in to pick up asphalt are going to use that road. The only thing that will go through the lease parcel would be the aggregates coming from Luckstone's quarry. If at some point we didn't have the lease, all that would mean is those aggregate trucks would have to exit Luckstone, go about 300 yards down the road, and take a right into our property. So the parcel doesn't rely on the lease in any way. It stands on its own. Yeah.
Any other questions?
None. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess we're open the floor for the first application for a citizen comment. Anyone wishing to speak for or against, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes to do so. We close the floor, seeing none. So we need to have a second citizen.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, we need to vote separately.
I'll second. John, go ahead.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay, it's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Now the CUP.
Moving on to the second. We'll have a citizen comments period. We'll open the floor. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing none, we'll close the floor.
I'll make another motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Ms. Parker.
Our next item is in District 5, CU 2016-00009A, application by Barbara D. Hughes and J. David Hughes, requesting renewal of a conditional use permit CU 2016-00009 for a detached accessory family housing unit on 10.66 acres at 1018 Mannequin Road on tax map 571041D. The property is zoned agricultural limited A2. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance, section 15.112, in accordance with Section 15285A. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Jamie Sherry, Director of Community Development. As Ms. Parker said, tonight we have a application for a renewal of a conditional use permit for a detached single-family housing unit. The applicant is Barbara Hughes. She is here this evening as well. So as you can see from the location map, the house is located in the central eastern portion of the county. The property is zoned agricultural A2, as is all the surrounding property. The property is designated as rural enhancement area by the comprehensive plan, as is the surrounding properties. Here is an aerial of the property. The house that Mrs. Hughes lives in is right here. This is a garage right here where which is the single-family housing unit. Here's a photo of the unit. The detached garage was constructed in 2017 and has 1,094 square feet of living space within it. As I mentioned before, Ms. Hughes does live in the primary dwelling and her son resides in the accessory dwelling. There was a community meeting held on June 9th. One neighbor attended and expressed support for this proposal. No complaints have been received in the 5 years it's been located on the property. Similar to another case that we had tonight, we are actually replacing the old conditions with more standard conditions that we have in place today. Nothing has substantially changed at all other than the expiration date. So the use, number one, allows for the use of this accessory family dwelling on the property. Number two, it limits it only to related individuals to the resident of the primary house. No rental. Number three, you're not allowed to rent the dwelling separately. Number four, carbon monoxide detector. There shall be at least one working carbon monoxide detector in the property. Access, you must be able to have proper access to the dwelling unit for safety purposes. As I mentioned, there is an expiration that is now a 10-year expiration for this use. And last one is a transfer of ownership. If that happens, we must be notified, as is the new owner. That concludes my presentation. Does anybody have any questions for me? Mrs. Hughes is here if you have questions for her as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
No questions. And does the applicant wish to make a presentation? No. All right. But we'll open the floor for the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this, come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion. Gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the application and the extension of time.
I second.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ms. Parker.
Our last item tonight is COA 2021-00001. Proposed amendment to zoning ordinance section 15262 and 15272, uses and structures permitted by right or by conditional use permit, CUP, to allow distribution centers with an access connection to a road segment categorized 5 or 6 in section 15344 classified roads as a by right use without such access by conditional use permit in the industrial limited M1 district and as a by right use in the industrial general M2 district.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, tonight we have an ordinance amendment request. This is being initiated by the county. This ordinance amendment would be for the entire county, so it would be countywide applied. This ordinance amendment would allow for a distribution center in industrial districts. Within the M1 district, it would be allowed by right in certain road classification categories. And in the M1 zoning district, other than being in those road classifications, a conditional use permit would be required. In the M2 zoning district, it would be allowed by right regardless of the road classification. I believe this will be somewhat of repetitive for you. When we came before the commission back in June, I had mentioned that the Office of Economic Development had just completed a study entitled Goochland County Cluster Identification Report. The study identified targeted and emerging businesses within the county. The report identified an emerging sector for logistics, which included distribution centers. Distribution centers are actually not listed as a permitted use in our zoning ordinance. However, there is a definition for distribution centers. That definition states an establishment engaged in the receipt, storage, and distribution of goods, products, cargo, and materials, including shipment by boat, rail, air, or motor vehicle. So as I mentioned in the introduction, the M1 zoning district, there's two different classifications, one which would allow a distribution center by right, other both the CUP. The allowed by right would be based on road segment categories as defined in our access management portion of our zoning ordinance. The table on your right-hand side, I know in the packet there was a larger portion. These kind of pull out, the road segments that would be identified as 5 and 6, and which would be allowed by right for any existing M1. Any new existing would have to go through a rezoning, which would have potential for there to be proffers. The CUP would be allowed by right for all other, a CUP would be required for any other road segment that's not on this list. And lastly, it would allow by right any M2 zoning district to have a distribution center. Here is a map. This was also included in your packet. Colors are kind of hard to distinguish, but essentially the deeper purple show areas that are zoned M2. The M1 is also located throughout the county. On the northwestern portion, you have the Middle Point industrial parks, and then there's like the one in Oilville is the Oilville industrial. I'm losing my control of my right. There it is. And then over here to the north, we have Luckstone. This portion is West Creek. M2 down here is Luckstone again. And then there's a couple of other smaller M2 zoning within different parts of the county. So what staff did is, as you recall, when we met last time, we then skipped another month to take a little time to look to see how the current zoning would be impacted by this. And so we took road segments into consideration because of the importance of the truck traffic that is associated with potential with a larger distribution center, and went through and identified, what roads would be appropriate, what road would not, took into account what was on the ground currently today and the factors that are involved in what distribution centers are looking for, to look at the potential for someone to be able to go there by right now and the appropriateness of that. Let's see, I think that's all my question. All my presentation. I'll go back to the map. Can you help me out there, Ashley? Thank you. I'll go back to the map, so if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to refer to anything that's out there.
Have you heard anything from public?
We have received no comment from the public.
Okay. No questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
No one interested at this point in doing a distribution center?
I do have Casey Verberg here, who is with Economic Development. She might be able to better answer that question.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Casey Verberg. I'm an Economic Development Coordinator for our Economic Development Department. We actually have seen a huge uptick in interest in distribution centers, which is part of the reason this has come forward. at this time. So, yeah, we have actually a couple active projects at the moment. We can't say too much about them for legal purposes, but it's definitely we're definitely seeing a strong interest in them at the moment. So, okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Okay. Any other discussion? We now open the floor for a public hearing. We do have to have a public hearing on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone wishing to speak for or against, please come forward and state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearings portion. Gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval.
I would like to, I guess, before a motion or a second, thank Ms. Sherry and staff for providing the maps. That's really helpful. I guess the only thing I would say is, you know, it's been I guess advertised to the public is that any adjacent landowners, you know, if they had any input, you know, it does impact them either positive or negative. So while it might seem simple, I don't see that there's any issue.
So. Motion to approve.
Have a second?
I'll second. Yeah.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Any old business?
No old business, no other business.
We have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
So done.
Thank you.